What's cracking? All right, hour number two. That was some first hour. That was my first hour back after I had a couple of days off. I want to thank my guy Bill Ryder for coming in on Friday and Monday and picking me up. The show is brought to you by Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rockin' Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. We talked to one of the youngest, brightest athletic administrators in Martin Jarman. He is the new AD at UCLA. We had that in hour number one. Hope you heard that one. That was a really good conversation. And then we had something really interesting as it relates to the Smack-Off. Smack-Off 26 is in 24 days. Remember, if you win the event, you get $5,000. $5,000 would come in pretty handy anytime, but especially right about now. You win, you get $5,000. You come in second, you get nothing. You come in third, you get even less. $5,000, winner take all. So last hour, I heard from Drizzle in Wichita. Remember, I ripped his golden ticket at the end of the week. I've been hammering this point. You know, it used to be back in the day that I would say, if you get a golden ticket, it does not guarantee you'll get on the air. Now I say, if you get a golden ticket, it doesn't even guarantee that you'll still have that golden ticket come Smack-Off time. You have to earn it and then re-earn it. You can't hide. You can't hoard it. You have to show up. I start thinking about my man Drizzle and the fact that I gave him his golden ticket in September of 2019. He had not called since then. You can't keep that. I mean, that's the epitome of what I'm saying. Don't hide. Don't hoard it. So I ripped it from him. It got back to him, and then he called up and said, hey, listen, this is why I haven't called, and told a really sad story, actually. He's been through a lot. Part of what he went through was being homeless for a period. So instead of many of you saying, damn, that is hard, I'm really sorry to hear that, my man. You immediately did what you do. You went to your bum smack, something that has long ago been prohibited on this show. In fact, I don't even like the word. I don't like the word as it relates to that. I'm not saying that you can't use that word. The proper use of the word bum is you're freaking bum. You've got no game, man. You're a bum. Bum ass. What he was speaking of was being homeless. He doesn't have a place to sleep. He doesn't have a home. It's not one and the same. So that happened last hour. Steven Crowtown tweets, I have an idea. Hear me out. Drizzle versus Ira. Winner gets a ham sandwich. I've got an idea too, Steve. You never call, tweet, or email my show ever again. Johnny Scabs is in. Cool story by Drizzle. Totally believable. Signed, Lance Armstrong. One for 3C1. Wore Rex in the ABQ, getting his golden ticket back. My man's not getting any sympathy or empathy whatsoever. He said he lost family members. People around him are dying. Lost his job. Lost his house. And what do I get in response? Hey, Rome, hear me out. How about this? How about Drizzle v. Ira for a ham sandwich? Wells in the 360 tweets, Drizzle going after Matt in LA is great. War bum on bum crime. Quickly, before I go to the phones, I want to remind you that Bob Costas is coming up in 15 minutes. Member of the Baseball Hall of Fame, MLB Network, et al., arguably the greatest sports broadcaster of our era, Bob Costas. And then you've got one of the greatest callers of our era, Jeff in Richmond. And Jeff in Richmond would come in here and brag on all his famous friends. And it sounded like it was shtick. Didn't sound like it was real. And then one day he mentioned how tight he and Bob Costas were. And I thought that was kind of amusing. Until Bob Costas called this show one day and admitted that he and Jeff are friends.
Hello, Bob. How are you?
Romy, how you doing?
I'm great, Bob. How are you?
Good. Before I get started, I realize the best I can hope for is to be the second best caller of the day, because my radio listening began with Jeff from Richmond citing major figures of literature, military history, and the world of country and western on a bizarre and inspired rant. So I am just looking to place here. The winner's laurels belong to Jeff.
You know, I can appreciate that, Bob. And with all due respect, I have to say, because the two of you have a close relationship, as Jeff has referenced many times, you might in fact be biased.
Could be. Could be. People call Jeff from Richmond's name out to me in airport terminals. There's some sort of bizarre connection that the two of us have going, and I don't quite know what to make of it.
And that's got to make you feel good no matter what town you're in.
It does, absolutely. It makes my day. At that point, it's smooth sailing.
I got to say, that is one of my favorite exchanges ever. Not only did Bob reference Jeff in Richmond, but he referenced him as only Bob can with that analysis of his bizarre rant. That was great. Every time I think of Bob, I think of a lot of things, but that's near the top of the list. If you can stand this, that exchange, that conversation I had with Bob was in 2003. Bob and I had that conversation about Jeff in Richmond. Freaking clock is crazy, man. The clock of life blows my mind. I had that conversation with Bob Costas in 03. The clock!
The clock.
1-800-636-8686. I did watch the Lance Armstrong doc on ESPN. I will get to that momentarily. Let's go to the phones. This guy's name has already come up. Drizzle referenced him. Of course, if somebody mentions him, he's going to clap right back. Also, something to keep in mind. As we speak, he still has a golden ticket. Let's go to Los Angeles. Matt in L.A. What's going on, Matt?
Tell me. Buenos dias, Van Smack, from Irvine to the Ivory Coast, from Newport to Nigeria. You're welcome. But first things first, I heard Fizzy Bobo, Fizzle finally got his Metro PCS cell phone line back on for long enough to call in and get his golden ticket back. What a surprise. I mean, to old Fizzy Bobo, that $5 grr is about $5 million. I mean, he's going to be able to secure his one-bedroom rental for the next decade if he could come in here and represent. But we all know that ain't going to happen. Hey, Drizzle, you know, you had plenty of time to come in here and run smack, and the first thing that you wanted to do was mention my name, your boy Matt in L.A., and try to claim that I didn't run you off, when we all can go back to the Stuckner files and see I did run your bum ass off. But I don't need to resort to bum smack, homie. I will just bitch smack you like I do all the competitors. That's all I got, Jimmy. War, Griffey the astronaut cat, and myself going on a long cruise after I win the smack off. How true.
Matt in L.A., though. All right, so you're probably sitting there wondering, do it. Or not wondering, but looking for it. Do it, Rome. Do it. Do it. Rip his ticket. Do it. I know you want that, but there's no reason for me to do that. That's fine. That's good. It's a good jungle beef right there. A few Fizzy Bobo on a platter references. It's just Matt in L.A. doing Matt in L.A. things. All right, so he still has his golden ticket. Drizzle lost his golden ticket, and he got his back. What about the rest of you? Sarah, don't get too used to holding on to yours. I'm going to need to see more, Sarah. 1-800-636-8686. Anybody else want to come in here? It is smack off season. The player profile today is with Stevie Carbone. He's been in 20 of these things. He won one in 98. He nearly won another one a couple of years back. He could win it again. That'd be an amazing story. 98. Can you imagine him bookending that with a win in 2020? Then again, I'm not even sure he shows up. I'm never sure whether or not he's going to show up. I talked about the match two and the fact that it was better than the match one and it raised a hell of a lot of money. So we have that going for us. Other than that, just a lot of corn and cringeworthy moments. Except there was one breakout star. One breakout star of the match two. And it was not Peyton Manning. It was not Tom Brady. It was not Tom Brady's pants. The breakout star from the event was a guy who didn't even play. Of course, I'm talking about Justin Thomas. And I'm talking about an absolute star in the making. Now, I'm not going to say that I told you so, but I told you so. This has been a Justin Thomas house for years. And over the weekend, the rest of the nation got to know more about this dude, and everything you learned was awesome. He was an on-course commentator for the event, and he damn near stole the entire show. That's how good he was. A bigger star than the four legends on the course, and bigger than the stars who were calling in on the phone. This guy was that good. He was that awesome. Just like I knew that he would be. Because there were moments like him taking a run at the Falcons in a conversation with Brady.
These aren't the Falcons you're playing against. Tiger's a pretty good closer.
Same colors, though.
Yeah.
It's the Eagles that I cringe, bro, not the Falcons.
These are not the Falcons you're going up against. Then there was this story about playing alternate shot with Tiger at the President's Cup. They were on the 16th hole, all square, and Woods had some advice for Thomas. Quote, T-Dub just walks up behind me without even thinking about it. First thing he said to me in 2 days and just said, quote, I don't care what I have in, just hit the effing fairway, and walked away. And that was all I got from him, end quote. That's awesome. This is exactly why the on-course commentator is there, to provide fodder like that, to give you stories like that, the kind of stories that you're not going to hear from anybody else. And JT calling Tiger Woods T-Dub is great. JT trading barbs with Charles Barkley was the best. And there was no moment better than this moment. What I'm about to play for you is literally the single best moment from the match, too.
Chuck, I'd love to see your fat ass try to jump a basketball right now.
Hey, right. Clear.
Dive.
JT, you can't call me fat on TV. That's bullying. I'm going to call HR on you.
Oh, that is so good. That is such a great exchange. He just called Charles Barkley a fat ass on national TV. I take it back. That's not only the best moment from the match, too. That's the best moment in broadcasting in a long, long time. You got to run that back. I mean, I still can't believe that he did that and that that's real.
Chuck, I'd love to see your fat ass try to jump a basketball right now.
Hey, clear.
Dive.
JT, you can't call me fat on TV. That's bullying. I'm going to call HR on you.
That was so smooth. That was so effortless. That was so natural. That was so ruthless. That was so savage. Just glossing somebody a fat ass.
Fat ass. Try.
In the middle of a broadcast and not even breaking stride or breaking character. You know, with that perfect on-course commentator's voice, too. Hey, Chuck, you're a fat ass. I'd love to see you dunk a basketball right now, you fat ass.
Chuck, I'd love to see your fat ass try to dunk a basketball right now.
Yo, Krispy Kreme's fat boy. A simple yet elegant fat ass blast in the middle of a golf event. So that's the standard now. If you're a color commentator or an on-course analyst, Justin Thomas, just set the bar. You're going to have to try to jump over it, but there's no way you will. It's not as easy as it looks. You can't just roll in and call Charles Barkley fat. You've got to earn that. And you have to earn the response from Chuck, too, because Sir Charles rolled with that like the Hall of Famer that he is. He was ready with an off-the-cuff one-liner of his own. And you know Charles is not going away without a fight. Sure enough, Chuck, who represents Auburn as hard as anybody represents anything, had a thought about JT's alma mater, Bama. Quote, hey, you're smart. All you Alabama people got your GEDs. I'm proud of you. End quote. I mean, bam! GED smack in the middle of a golf event. Between a fat-ass blast and some GED junk, I thought the smack-off had broken out between these two guys. The only thing missing was someone taking a run at stay-at-home dads and Stevie Wonder Truthers. And just think about all those exchanges and compare them to Brady and Manning. Mechanically going back and forth. Fat ass and GED jokes were so much better than incredibly weak, watered down so-called junk from Brady and Manning about their alma maters. The most obvious thing to say is that Thomas is going to have a career as an analyst whenever he wants it, because you know every single network had to be drooling about the possibility of having a guy that cool, that quick, and that funny on the mic for their broadcasts. But even better than Thomas holding a mic is Thomas holding a club. And it says here he's got plenty of time and plenty of majors to win before he trades in the clubs for a microphone. But I can't wait till he does. I just hope that Chuck is doing golf events when that happens, because we need that back and forth fire for years to come. War Eagle and Roll Tide, War Chuck and Roll JT.
Chuck, I'd love to see your fat ass try to dunk a basketball right now.
Dude, that's, you know, say what you want about Chuck. Chuck's such a good dude, but that's not the easiest guy to take a run at. And my man JT could not have been more comfortable. Fat ass Chuck.
You can't call me fat on TV. That's bullying.
Good job, Chuck. Well played. Well played, Chuck. That was the finest moment of that event. When we come back, the legend, Bob Costas, back in the jungle. That's next. Don't go anywhere. Capital One knows that life does not alert you about your credit card. Hey, couch surfers, we've got nonstop tunes to keep you rocking while you work. Oh, and Colleen. Yes, you, Colleen with a K. Your free trial of Movie Plus ends tomorrow. Your card may be charged. Do you want to continue or cancel? So, meet Eno, the Capital One assistant. Eno looks out for surprise charges, like when free trials do expire, and helps if you need to fix them. Eno. Another way Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not. Capital One. What's in your wallet? Limitations do apply. Capital One.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Having a great day. Live right here in my Southern California Bay studio, where I have been this entire time. It is so good to be here. Love it. Last hour, we have the new AD at UCLA, Martin Jarman. Next hour, Chase Elliott, the driver of the number 9 Chevy. And right now, I am extremely pleased to say we are joined by an MLB Network host, a play-by-play announcer, a 28-time Emmy Award winner, 28 times, recipient of the Ford C. Frick Award for Major Contributions to Baseball, a primetime host for 11 Olympic Games. Somebody I consider a very good friend of the program. Of course, that is Bob Costas. Bob, it is so good to have you back. Let me start off by asking, Bob, how are you and everybody around you doing during this very unusual time?
We're fortunate to say, Romy, that we're all fine. We're healthy. We're well situated. Just waiting it out like everybody else and doing what we can. You're able to be on the air all the time. And even though, as you may know, I'm a notorious technophobe, I figured out the Zoom and the Skype and everything else, so I'm able to be on MLBN or anybody else that asks me. I shouldn't put it that way. Everybody will start asking me. Those who ask me, and it seems worthwhile to do, I'm able to do it.
I knew you would figure that stuff out, Bob. Bob Costas is joining us. I did not have a concern about that for even a moment. Listen, Bob, you've been around sports for decades. What then, even with this technology, what's it been like for you to be without sports for the last couple of months?
I think the fact that I have been around it for decades, Romy, makes it easier for me to deal with it, if that's the right way to put it. Do I hope for sports to be able to return safely and sensibly soon? Of course I do. But I'm not out on a ledge with nothing else to do. Actually, if you look at it the right way, this is an opportunity to do some things you otherwise might not have done. All those books on the shelf that you've been meaning to read, well, I've gotten to a lot of them. The old movies that you never saw or the ones you'd like to see again, this is the opportunity to do it. You know, to exercise more regularly than you do when you're busy, to eat a little more healthy. I was talking to Joe Maddon yesterday. Joe has gone from 208 pounds down to 193 because he's not eating out as much as he used to. I mean, Joe is a real foodie, and he loves his wine. But the upside of this situation for him, at least, is that he's gotten into much better shape. And he's been able, as he put it, to think about some things, including about the composition of his Angels roster and how he will approach this set of circumstances when they play, if they're able to, when they play half a season. He's always been a guy who is a thinker, But now I guess he's been able to double down on that. So, look, you and I and many of the people that we regularly associate with are very, very fortunate. We've just had to adjust. You really feel for the people who are trying to survive. So whatever adjustments we've had to make, we've made them, and we're lucky to be able to say so.
Extremely well said, Bob. Bob Costas is joining us. You know, Bob, I could and should follow you and talk baseball right there, and if we have time, I'll double back to it. But I do want to ask you, you were interviewed as part of The Last Dance. What's it like looking back on that time for you?
Well, it was a wonderful time, not just for the Bulls and Michael Jordan. It was a tremendous era in the NBA, which is not to say that the recent Golden State Warriors or the Cavaliers when they had LeBron or everything that Popovich and the Spurs accomplished wasn't great, but there was something about that era where Bird and Magic fed into Michael Jordan's run, and you have to give Isaiah and the Pistons a nod for what they did in between. Kareem was just retiring toward the end of the 80s. The Lakers and Celtics had that wonderful rivalry. You got the Dream Team thrown in. And I've said this in other places, and people can factor in my bias. I really think it mattered in terms of making Michael Jordan and the Bulls, but also the NBA itself, part of the pop culture conversation in a way that maybe it isn't now. It mattered that the biggest games were on NBC, on an over-the-air broadcast network, before the media landscape became as crowded as it is now. Those games, those big games, were on NBC, and the promos were on Seinfeld and ER and Friends and David Letterman and the Today Show, and that made it part of the pop culture conversation. There was a second Dream Team. It didn't have the impact of the first, but a second Dream Team in 96 at the Atlanta Olympics. So, look, it's nothing against the presentation of the games now. Ernie Johnson's show with Barkley, Shaq, and Kenny Smith is probably the best studio show in the history of American sports TV. It isn't about the quality. Mike Breen is a wonderful Hall of Fame announcer. But the NBA on NBC had a kind of prominence and a kind of resonance. We would show double and triple headers on a Saturday and Sunday on a weekend. There were playoff games, not just finals games, playoff games in prime time on weeknights. That meant that just about everybody who cared about it was in on it. And that game six, the Last Dance final game, is still by far the highest rated game in NBA history. And even though the way it ended, you couldn't ask for a more dramatic scenario, just think for a moment if there had been a game seven, and they came very close to having a game seven. A game seven on a Wednesday night on NBC in 1998, a larger rating still.
Bob Costas joining us. All right, Bob, so what about that? Game six of the 98 finals has the highest TV ratings in NBA history. As popular as Kobe and LeBron have been, they have not broken that number. So in your mind, is it still possible to have an athlete and a team transcend sports the way Jordan and those Bulls did? Will we ever see anything like that again?
First of all, you have to have someone that great, that appealing. He's as handsome as a movie star. He was beautiful to watch. You have to have the constellation of stars around him. You know, it was a perfect storm. I just told you about the television component, the Dream Team component, the rivalries that were part of it. I don't want to call them secondary, but I guess I just did. But when you think of the other players who were gigantic stars, just think of the roster of the Dream Team, apart from Jordan and Pippen, who were the two Bulls on the team. It all just comes together. If you were casting a movie, and I guess The Last Dance in a way was a movie, if you were casting a movie, I don't know how you could possibly do better. Even on the Bulls, apart from Jordan himself, Pippen's a fascinating guy. So is Rodman. Jackson, obviously, is a very interesting guy. Steve Kerr, one of the most thoughtful and well-spoken athletes and role players, like Steve Kerr and John Paxson are part of the story. It's a rich story. It's not just some two-dimensional story. It's got a lot of texture to it.
Bob, what did you make of the image of Michael Jordan as a person that we saw depicted in that series?
Well, I think it humanized him a bit. I didn't like the way he picked on Jerry Krause. Look, there's legitimate criticism of Jerry Krause. I think it was Phil Jackson who said he deserved more credit than he got, but he wanted more credit than he deserved. And it was just insane to say, look, if you go 82-0, this is still your last year. And that ridiculous conceit organizations win championships, not players. Well, of course, the whole organization matters. But without the key players, it doesn't matter what kind of genius you fancy yourself to be, you're not going to win. So, okay, Krause may have deserved some criticism, but that kind of cool kids versus the awkward kids thing that played out, and you heard some of it, I didn't think that reflected well on Michael. But none of us are perfect, and I thought a lot of what came out, his passion, his commitment to it, his obvious thoughtfulness in, and what I mean by that is not kindness, I mean the thoughtful way in which he answered the questions. This is not a one or two dimensional person, and I think that came out. The influence of his father, his fondness for his mom, I think it added some texture to his story and increased people's appreciation of him, especially as a player. If they'd either forgotten or they were too young to have experienced it firsthand, their appreciation of him as a player, but also I think it filled him out a little bit, not fully, but it filled him out a little bit as a person.
Bob Costa is joining us for a few more moments. Bob, it was not my intention to bring you on to talk exclusively about Michael Jordan, but you know baseball as well as anybody knows baseball, so I am curious about this. What do you make of Jordan's baseball career?
I think it's possible that had he committed to baseball, A, he wouldn't have been nearly as good a baseball player as he was a basketball player, and the country would have been deprived of one of its epic sports stories. But it's possible that he could have made the major leagues if he'd committed to baseball at the outset, you know, after he got out of high school. I know that Terry Francona and others in The Last Dance said that if he had stuck with Birmingham and made his way through the minor leagues, that he might have been able to make it to the majors. I think that's more they're expressing their respect for his work ethic. And it is kind of amazing that a guy that never played professional baseball and hadn't played baseball at all in a very long time was able to hit over 200 in the minor leagues. And he was a good base runner. He had a good arm in right field. The fact that he wasn't a joke, the focus on him made some people mock his baseball efforts. But the idea that somebody in their 30s could just leave their primary sport, try another, and not be terrible at it is kind of amazing, even at the AA level. Do I think he would have made the major leagues had he stayed, had he not come back to the Bulls? No, I doubt it. But I think it was amazing that he was as good as he was.
We're talking to Bob Costas. So, Bob, in terms of the baseball season starting up, there's a number of things that are being discussed, obviously, right now. But should this happen, what would it be like to have a baseball season without fans, both for you as a fan and as a broadcaster?
Well, from the broadcasting standpoint, whether it's done from an essentially empty stadium or whether it's done in a studio, it isn't just the absence of the crowd and big moments, the cheering, the booing. There's a hum, a little buzz, a murmur of sound throughout a baseball game. And, of course, a baseball game is different from a basketball, hockey, or football game in terms of how it plays out and the way the crowd sort of fills in some of the spaces. And as a broadcaster, we'd have to be mindful of that. 4 or 5 seconds where the announcer doesn't say anything, and you have the pictures, but also you have the crowd sound, that sounds the way it should. 4 or 5 seconds without anyone saying anything and no crowd sound at all might seem strange. And we don't have any blueprint for this, so we're going to have to feel it as we go. I really don't know what to make of it, but we'll figure it out, I guess.
And then finally, one of the models that has been discussed has been expanding the roster, making the DH available in both leagues. Do you think there might be an opportunity for baseball to experiment and push the envelope a little bit this year in terms of tweaks to the game and how it's played? Might we see that, and might there be an opportunity there?
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that, Romy. I think that now is the time. Even if some of the things that have been floated out there are things that I don't agree with, now is the time to try virtually everything other than running the bases backwards. Expand the playoffs, have a different playoff format. If they wanted to put in a pitch clock with nobody on base, the Players Association opposes it, so they probably won't be able to pull it off. But I think this would have been a good time to experiment with that. I think it makes absolute sense to have the DH in both leagues, even though some of us favor the strategy that having the pitcher bat brings to the National League. They're going to be very concerned about injuries. They already were concerned in a normal season about injuries to American League pitchers who ordinarily don't bat, ordinarily don't run the bases. There's no point in taking any risk in that situation. I don't think you're going to see rosters once we return to normal and they're playing regular seasons. I don't think you're going to see rosters expanded to the extent that we'll see now. But it makes sense now because you just kind of need that sort of taxi squad in these unusual circumstances. But whatever they want to experiment with, I say if they want to experiment with putting a guy on second base and extra innings to move things along, I think that's a horrible idea. But now's the time to try it and then, you know, throw everything against the wall and see what sticks.
He is an MLB Network host, a play-by-play announcer, the recipient of 28 Emmy Awards, the recipient of the Ford C. Frick Award for Major Contributions to Baseball. He has also hosted 11 Olympic Games in prime time. Bob, I know there are obviously much more pressing matters, but I would be lying if I said that I was not looking forward to our first Javier's run, which I don't know if you had thought about, but I had already scheduled for earlier this year. So maybe we can rain check that. I was certainly looking forward to that.
You know, we are not that far apart, but we might as well be a world apart with social distancing. We could hop in our respective cars right now and meet at Javier's or Mastro's or Moto Mio, but there wouldn't be anybody there. Or there might be for takeout, but it wouldn't be what you have in mind.
Yeah, Bob, I agree with you. I don't know about you, but I was driving around this weekend down by the beach communities, and there certainly were people in restaurants, and some were social distancing, and some were not. There were people at the beach, some were social distancing, and some were not. So leave us with this thought. Are you still staying indoors? Are you getting out? How are you approaching it at this point?
Well, luckily, we spend some time, as you know, that's what you were alluding to. We spend some time between the first of the year and the start of the baseball season, ordinarily, in California. And so we happened to be here when COVID-19 reached critical mass, so we didn't have to think about where we'd be. This is the best place to be, both because of the weather and because we are, to answer your question, able to get out. So we take long walks around the neighborhood, hang around in the backyard. That's probably a healthier situation than being in an apartment in New York, all things considered. But other than people we see on the walks, and instinctively, whether we know them or not, they veer one way and we veer another. It's just kind of understood by everybody. And then you wave at them from a distance. Apart from that, I haven't seen too many people in person over the last 2.5 months.
Exactly how we've done it. Exactly the same way. Bob Costas, my guest. Bob, I appreciate you so much. Great to have you on the show. And I always look forward to it. Thank you very much, Bob.
All right, Romy. Be well. See ya.
Be well. Stay safe. Great to have you, Bob. Bob Costas is the preeminent sports broadcaster of our time. When we return, we're open. I do want to talk about the Lance Armstrong doc. I've got more thoughts on the match, too. And we're banging telephone calls. It is smack-off season. Drizzle in Wichita had a golden ticket, lost a golden ticket, retrieved his golden ticket. Matt in L.A. took a run at him. Many of you wanted me to rip his ticket. I did not. He still has his. I've got the player profile coming up as well. And, of course, you can respond to anything that Bob Costas just said. Right now, though, I've got a sports update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you just saw a shirtless narc bra in a hot tub shouting out about the smack off. It can be you. We are looking for your submission of video rants. They've got to be tight. Adam Hawk will lay it out for you momentarily, but that's the first one we've shown yet. That's a shirtless narc bra in his hot tub talking smack off. This segment's brought to you by Eno, the Capital One assistant, which looks out for surprise credit card charges, helps if you need to fix them. Eno, another way the Capital One is watching out for your money when you are not Capital One. What is in your wallet? See CapitalOne.com for details. On the topic of the smack-off, again, my thanks to Bob Costas. Always good to have Bob on. Appreciate that long-form conversation with him. So coming off that long four-day bender, that four-day weekend, it is officially heat check time in the jungle. In fact, even before I can mention that, we got off to a good start in hour number one, right? All of you clones have been going pretty hard for the last couple of weeks, and I'm wondering where you are after a few days in the basement. In other words, did my mini staycation act as a cooler to all of you? Did it lull you into sleep? Or maybe did it ramp up the urgency? Because the fact is, the clock is spinning quickly. I'm hoping that's the case. A huge chunk of the Smack-Off clock burned off since I was last here on Thursday. So right now, we're just 24 days out. 24 days. Like, don't get kind of lulled in by that number that I reset every single day. That's only 24 days until Smack-Off 26. 24 days to get in the reps. Lock in your RSVP. Maybe ignite some old beefs. Start some new ones. And if you're holding a golden ticket, to solidify that invite right now. Don't go nodding off right now. Do what you need to do to wake yourself up, shake it off, and get back into Smack-Off mode, because this thing is not waiting for anybody. Before I get into today's player profile, I want to talk to the watch listers. Not those who have a golden ticket, but those who are on the watch list. You're on the radar to maybe get a golden ticket. Jeff in SoCal, Johnny Scabs in the D, Jason, Harrisburg. This is it, fellas. Your time is running out. You don't even have a golden ticket that you may or may not get ripped. You're not even in that conversation yet. You should be on hold every single day until you either get what you want or until I tell you to jog on for good. Trust me, I want to give these things out. That's what they're here for. Come and get yours. Play your way in for the 19th. Now, speaking of the 19th and the main event, this player that I'm about to profile is the most experienced caller in the field, and it's not even close. Nobody comes close. 25 Smack-Offs have gone down on these airwaves, and this 1998 champion has been there for 20 of them. Of course, I'm talking about Stevie Carbone. Now, the word legend does get thrown around way too much, but I don't know what else you would call a dude with two decades of Smack-Off appearances to his name. A guy who was in the inaugural event back in 95. He was in the first one, and he was in the most recent one in 2019. It's a hell of an accomplishment. And the guy has not aged out. Not at all. He hasn't lost anything. Not at all. Because as recently as 2 years ago, Stevie Carbone damn near won the whole thing. At that time, Leffen Laguna was responsible for each of the holy bleep moments in 2016 and 2017. And then Carbone shows up in 2018, and he beat the bully at his own game with a cameo for the ages.
Let's stop it with the gimmicks. I mean, some people look at last year's gimmick as, wow, how cool, he rounded up the old geezers from yesteryear. They had a little powwow. What a nostalgic moment. I, on the other hand, looked at it as like, great, you brought in 63 people into the studio that had a combined one Smack-Off title between them. Silk, which might have been the worst call to ever win this thing. I'm old school. I've been around since the night show. I've been around long enough to remember when Hacksaw was piecing together fake interviews he claimed to do. And I still think to this day he thinks Napoleon Kaufman got his leg amputated. But the new school stuff, it's just, it's not fun for me anymore. I liked having rivals. I had one rival back in the day. That was the Calvin Asian. I loved kicking that guy in the nuts during my phone calls about his balding or his weight gain or his radio career. I mean, Jesus, that guy was so fun.
Yeah, no, thank you, Steve. ABC's attorneys are online too. I got this. Jim, it's great to be back.
That was a holy bleep moment. That was Stevie Carbone teeing up the handoff to a five-time Smack-Off champ and a bitter rival, Shawnee the Cowboy Asian, who ran a minute of fire after getting that baton. It may or may not have won Stevie the Smack-Off, but it was arguably the defining moment of 2018. Not only did he resurrect his fiercest rival, who had the most titles at that time, but he brought back a dude that we had not heard from in 11 years. And that cameo opened up the door to the Cablin Asians' first solo run in over a decade, 1 year later at Smack-Off 25. So that was awesome. But don't get it twisted. Carbone and the Cowboy Nation do not like each other. They have a long history of giving each other the hands, trading haymakers. Carbone has landed more than his fair share of shots square on Shawnee's jaw.
I know the absence of the Calvinization in the Smack-Off has people talking. Should he be here? Should he not be here? Here's my question. Why does he want to be here? Shawnee, you gravy-trained 5 titles to your own radio show, and now you're upset you can't make your one call a year where you save takes from the previous 364 days? I went to your station website the other day and saw a picture of you there. As Clark Griswold told Cousin Eddie, you're looking fit. Shawnee, let's just hope that your career rivals Jim's in the radio business and not JT the Shtick. I caught some of his show recently. I mean, wow. 1,000 calls a show is good radio? Really? I would have loved to hear your takes, if you had any. Do you even talk? Is it possible to be the host of a national radio show and not actually host their national radio show? I will say, though, the best part about the show is at least you're not insecure at all about being associated with the jungle. I mean, it's killing you that most people still see you as the first Smack-Off winner rather than a national talk show host. Totally can't tell by listening to your show.
Carbone. Carbone is a savage. Somewhere the brick's got to be like, the hell did I do? The hell did I do? That's Stevie Carbone, man. You never know what you're going to get from him. And even though he's shown up for 20 out of 25 of these things, I'm never sure when he's going to show up, if he's going to show up year to year. I just know that if he does, he's going to have a look at this thing. He hasn't won it since 98, but damn near ripped it in 18. He could do it again. I hope he's here. Stevie Carbone. I'm out of time at the end of the hour. There was more that I had with that that maybe I'll get to on the other side. However, Stevie Carbone, he's won this thing, and he's the only one to appear in 20 of them. The Smack-Off is June 19th. Also next hour, Adam Hawk is going to remind you what you need to do to get your video on the air like a shirtless narc bra did from his hot tub. Phone lines are open. Stevie Carbone with the profile. When we return, the driver of the number 9 Chevy for Henrik Motorsports is Chase Elliott. He joins us.